volunteers to sign up for Children's Church Second Service, and my daughter, I know you're not going to like me doing this, are you, sweetie? My daughter chose to volunteer, and she, as a freshman, is going to oversee Children's Church downstairs. Proud dad moment. All right. Bye, Tina. Thank you so much. A guy is driving around, and he sees a sign in front of a house. It says, talking dog for sale. He rings the bell. The owner tells him that the dog is in the backyard. Guy goes into the backyard, sees a Labrador retriever sitting there. Goes up to the dog. He says, you talk? He asks. Dog says, yep. Man says, so what's your story? Dog says, well, I discovered that I could talk when I was pretty young. I wanted to help the government, so I told the CIA about my gift, and in no time, they had me jetting from country to country, sitting in rooms with spies and world leaders. I was one of their most valuable spies for 8 years running. But jetting around really tired me out. I knew I wasn't getting any younger, so I wanted to settle down. I signed up for a home protection service, did some undercover security work, mostly wandering the local streets near suspicious characters and listening in. I uncovered some potential hazards, and the mayor and the governor gave me a batch of medals for my merits. Then I got married, had a mess of puppies, now I'm just retired. The guy's amazed. He goes back in and he asks the owner what he wants for the dog. Owner looks at him and says, $10. Guy says, $10? The dog's amazing. Why on earth are you selling him so cheap? Dog's owner annoyingly replied, because he's a liar. He never did any of that stuff. A talking dog to protect our homes. A novel idea. Doesn't work. So let's get into some serious discussion here. How concerned are you about your home security? Markets and Markets Research predicts that the home security solutions market will be a $47.5 billion industry by 2020, a figure that will have doubled in less than 10 years. Why? Why do you think? Because there's a lot of bad stuff out there, and let's face it, we don't want that bad stuff in here, and we'll do our best to keep it out. Smoke alarms, fire alarms, burglar alarms, carbon monoxide detectors, fire extinguishers, fire sprinklers, radon detectors, wireless cell phone accessible cameras. We take this home security stuff pretty serious. Now, our collective goal is to protect our homes. And we do it because we value the things in our homes. Marcus Cicero once asked, what is more agreeable than one's home? Pastor Mark Johnson claimed that, quote, it is always special to go home. There's no agony quite like homesickness. Now, while I concur with these questions and claims, I am forced to ask this. What about our homes? Are they protected? Are they safe? And are they secure? Now, while I think we do a great job of keeping crime and calamity out of our homes, are we truly aware of who or whom or what we are allowing in our homes? Are we welcoming our Savior in while attempting and working and praying to keep sin out? You know, Job recognized God's care and protection that was felt in his home. In Job 29, verses 2 through 4, Job says, oh, for the years gone by when God took care of me and I walked safely through the darkness when the friendship of God was felt in my home. Isaiah prophesies a time when Israel will once again have hope in a safe and secure home. He says in Isaiah 32:18, he says, my people will live in safety quietly at home. Even Joshua, in that famous passage, Joshua 24:15, he conveys a similar thought where he says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. You can almost figure that he had probably mentioned that at one time or another in his home. You see, our home security starts and ends with our Heavenly Father's surety. We need God to protect our homes. I stumbled across this poem, and I like this poem. I think this is a good poem that ties into what we're talking about today. It says, happy the home when God is there and love fills every breast. When one their wish and one their prayer, and one their heavenly rest. Happy the home where Jesus' name is sweet to every ear, where children early lisp his fame and parents hold him dear. Happy the home where prayer is heard and praise is wont to rise, where parents love the sacred word and live but for the skies. Lord, let us in our homes agree this blessed home to gain. Unite our hearts in love to thee, and love to all will reign. Are we allowing God to secure our homes? Now, we have been taught and trained and marketed to and advertised to on how to keep crime and calamity out of our homes. But sadly, many of us have failed and subsequently allowed sin and depravity to enter our homes, and they are currently unsafe and they are currently unsecured. In essence, we've simply allowed sin in. Like an all-consuming, destroying fire, not only is the Christian home being destroyed, but also the one-time faithful family who lives in it and has been divided in it. You know, it's interesting because I think we understand the physical protection of our home. Today, we have to understand the importance of the spiritual protection and security of our home. We'll look at our sermon text today. It comes from James 4, 1 through 10. Listen to what James says. We're going to read this as we're going to come back, and we're going to kind of encompass everything that has to happen or everything that's said from this. Here's what James says. He says, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it because there's a whole army of evil desires within you? You want what you don't have, so you kill to get it. You long for what others have and can't afford it, so you start a fight to take it away from them. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole aim is wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You're like an unfaithful wife who loves her husband's enemies. Don't you realize that making friends with God's enemies, the evil pleasures of this world, makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy the evil pleasure of the unsaved world, you cannot also be a friend of God. Or what do you think the scripture means when it says that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, watches over us with tender jealousy? But he gives us more and more strength to stand against all such evil longings. As the scripture says, God gives strength to the humble, but sets himself against the proud and haughty. So give yourselves humbly to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Let your hearts be filled with God alone to make them pure and true to him. Let there be tears for the wrong things you've done. Let there be sorrow and sincere grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. And then when you realize your worthlessness before the Lord, he will lift you up, encourage, and help you." What in the world have we let in? Look at verse 1. "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it because there's a whole army of evil desires within you?" You know, Jeremiah 17:9 says this. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." You know, in many cases, I think that we have been very careless in what we've let in. And because of this, we've let our guard down. We've let sin in, which means that in most cases, we've just given up. And there are families today, I've talked to families today, this past week, I talked to families, family whose home is completely divided. The children do not believe in Jesus Christ, do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and never want to know Jesus Christ. And the father is destroyed by this decision. Why? Because sin was let in. They let their guard down, and now this family feels like giving up. And what happens is, in most cases, these families, they don't look up, they give up. Paul asks in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God?" Whether it was Israel, Genesis 12, verse 3, The tabernacle, Exodus 40, 34. The temple, Zechariah 9, 8. God's people, 1 John 5, 18. Folks, God has always been in the security business. And when they turned their backs on him, they let sin in. And subsequently, those people, those structures were no longer secure. You see, we have a choice today. Our choice today is to employ a greater security system than anything we've ever known. Our choice today is to plug into a system that has been designed from the beginning of time that says, I will protect you. And all of us need protected by him because he's out there. You see, sadly, they, Israel, we, some of God's people, haven't always employed him or used him to be our security system. Think of James 4, 2 through 4. God is no longer, he's no longer our security system. And when we say that, God, we don't want you as our security system, our homes are vulnerable for attack. Our Heavenly Father, who was at one time our home's provider, protector, defender, and leader, sadly, is now just a visitor. We keep him out more than we let him in. And meanwhile, Satan prowls and lurks and waits outside. I love 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. We're going to break this down real quick. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, he says, be careful. Now, we use that term a lot. I use it a lot. Hey, see you later, be careful. Hey, you're going on a trip, be careful. Going to the grocery store, be careful. We use it a lot. But I don't really know that we know the significance of that word care. You see, two guys named Merriam and Webster, they understood the word care. And they actually ratcheted up that definition more than we could ever imagine. Here's what they said about care. They said care, according to Merriam Webster, care is painstaking or watchful attention. That's what care is. We say be careful, it's like, hey, whatever happens, happens. Just be careful. We don't even sure we mean it. But Merriam-Webster says this is what care is. Care means that you are watching with attentive eyes. It means that it is so painstaking to see what's going on around you. So when Peter says be careful, he says be watchful. He says watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion, looking for some victim to tear apart. Stand firm when he attacks. Get ready. We're not done yet. Here's what he says. He says, stand firm when he attacks. Here's the best part. And he says, trust the Lord. You know what he's saying? Peter says, you can't secure yourselves. Only God can secure you. Now, where we grew up, and my brother and I were growing up, middle of nowhere, farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere. We did not have a security system. We did not. But we had a dog. Our dog's name was Bo. I'm a product of the late 70s, early 80s. If you're wondering why in the world would anybody name their dog Bo, because we watched the Dukes of Hazzard. We were enamored by the Duke boys, and so we named our dog Bo. And Bo was a Norwegian Alkhound, big, burly, scary-looking dog with a curly tail. And Bo wouldn't hurt anybody, but man, his bark was fierce. And here's what we had. Because we didn't have a security system, we knew what was going on outside all the time. Because here's what you would hear inside all the time. When we were inside, you'd hear things like, and we knew that something was outside our home. And we knew that the shrieks of raccoons and possum, the hissing of snakes, all those things were happening outside our home because our dog was our security system. He would destroy anything that prowled around the perimeter of our home. In rare instances, my brother and father would have to go out and shoot those things outside our home. Notice that you did not hear me say that. So, but this was our security system, and we loved our dog for it. Occasionally got beat up by coyotes, but this dog was tough, and he secured our home. Now, when we built a house in Fox Creek Subdivision, 2004, many years ago, I remember when we moved in there, first night we were there, we didn't have curtains. That was a mistake. We forgot all about blinds and curtains, so we were, hello, and I remember thinking, anybody can see us, they're going to break in. And so we got blinds. One of the happiest days of my life was when we had blinds on our windows, and I could walk around however I wished, and nobody was going to see me. But I remember we were sitting at supper one night, and I look out the front door, and I see my neighbor's TV strewn across his yard with a lot of other electronics. And I said, what in the world? And then all of a sudden, here come the cop cars conversing and just getting into our neighborhood. And we looked down. I went over to the police officer. I said, hey, what happened? And he said, and they were broken into. And they came home while they were breaking in. And so they left everything and just fled. And so it was all over the yard. And I remember that night. Folks, I was neighborhood watch on steroids. I've never been more terrified in my life. I would walk around. I would flip open the blinds and look to see if anybody was out there. I'd crack open the door to look. We kept all the lights off. I mean, we were nuts. Guess what I did the next day? Anybody want to guess? Called the every single security company in McLean County, surrounding counties. You got to get to my house. We're at risk. And those people came out. And they looked, and they assessed, and they processed the whole thing, and we determined that it was way too expensive to protect our home. So that's why I walk around the house still at night looking through the windows. Are you out there? But that's what we did. And this is what we do. We believe that we are secure. I believe that Bo, and eventually Luke, yes, there was another dog came along named Luke. I believe that our two dogs were going to protect our home. I believe that my watchful eyes looking out the windows at 54 Pebblebrook Court was going to protect our home. But this is what I know. I know that I can't protect my home. I know God can protect my home, and I know that God will protect the children in my home, and I know that God will continue to watch over us while we're at home. But see, here's the thing, folks. We can't trust him to protect our home if we have kicked him out of our home. And in many cases, we've kicked him out of our home, and many people will say, no, I haven't. I have a Bible. I go to church. And I'm saying, folks, how often do you open that Bible at home? How often do you talk to your defender and your protector at home? How often do you pray over your children and your loved ones at home? How often do you recognize and give him praise because he protects the valuables, the priceless things of your home? How often do we do this? Look at James 4, 7 and 8. So give yourselves humbly to God. You know what that means? Give yourselves humbly to God. Here's what it means. God, take me. God, take me. Here I am. I'm yours. Take me. I'm humbled. You're powerful. I'm not. You can secure. I can't. That's what that means. Give yourselves humbly to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. You know what that means? That means you're just going to ask him. You say, God, I want you to secure my home. God, I want you in my home. I don't want you to leave my home. And I want you to oversee and watch over my home all the time, even when I'm not home. That's how we do it. And James makes it very clear that he will do it. You see, God is concerned about the safety and the security of you and your valuables and your priceless individuals that live in your home. Who remembers the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, right? We know this. In Matthew 6:13, Jesus gives you that prayer. It is the exemplary model prayer. When people say, I don't know how to pray, that's where you can start. You can start with that prayer. But it's interesting because in Matthew 6:13, Jesus encourages us to pray to God for deliverance from the evil one. Do you remember that part? He says, deliver us from evil. Do you know what Jesus knew? Jesus knew that one day everybody would need his security. And he says it right there. He says, you want to know how to pray? Pray for security. Because my Father will lead you away from evil and will direct you to a place of security. Deliver us from the evil one. Jesus was in the security business. Who remembers Jesus' prayer to his heavenly Father prior to his arrest and trial and crucifixion in John 17. If you ever never read that, read it. There's your homework assignment today. If you've ever wondered how much Jesus loves you and how much God loves you, read John 17. You will realize just how important you are, how valuable and priceless you are. But in that prayer, John 17, Jesus prays for his disciples and his people. But I love, in verse 15, he says this. He prays to God to keep us safe. Keep us safe from Satan's power. Folks, God is our defender, and he's our protector. Our security system is him. Walter B. Knight shares this true story. Listen to this. For days, the snow fell unabated until the roofs of the homes were heavy with snow. One night, a robber entered a home occupied by a Christian man and wife and their baby. As the robber moved about the room where all three were sleeping, the baby began to move and showed signs of awakening. The robber, fearing that the baby might awaken and cry and thus betray his presence, gently lifted the sleeping infant from his crib and placed him outside the front door. The baby, obviously cold, awakened and began to cry. His crying awakened the father and mother. They ran in the direction where it came from. Just as they ran out of the front door of their home, the roof of their home fell in. Later, the robber was found dead beneath the ruins near the very things that he had stolen in that collapsed home. God saves, God secures. Christian author Bob Harrison once said, "What you do not value and protect, you will probably lose." Why do we secure our homes? Because we value them, and we especially value what is in them. Don't you value your spouse? Don't you value your children? Don't we then need a security system? How important are those priceless, valuable people? We need God more than ever. In Mark 11, 15 through 17, we find Jesus driving out the merchants and their customers and overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple. Why did he drive them out? Because they allowed evil and sin. He said in verse 17, "My temple is to be a place of prayer." You know what Jesus did? He secured the structure. That's what he did. He made it safe. He eliminated and eradicated sin. And he made it to be exactly what God wanted that house, that temple, to be. You see, God has a plan for your home. God has a plan for our homes, and those homes are to be holy. That's the plan. You see, for Jesus, it wasn't his home, but it was to be holy. Our homes must be holy. This includes our family home, this includes our church home, and this includes this home, where the Holy Spirit resides and lives. What in the world have we let in our homes? I'm going to read you Ephesians 6. We're going to cover just a few verses of this passage, but again, it's a great passage. Really talks about how we can defend ourselves against the attacks from Satan. But in verses 10 through 13 of Ephesians 6, here's what Paul has to say. He says, "Last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks of Satan. For we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. The evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. This is our threat. That is how we're being attacked. The question is, do we even know it? You see, so often we're so concerned about the stranger's knock at the door. So often we are so concerned about the chirping of the radon detector or the fire detector. But we never ever think about the sin and the evil spirits that can enter in our houses and divide our families. Today we got to be concerned. How serious are we about protecting our home? Sin can creep in. Perhaps it's already entered in, and likely we have thought nothing of it. Pornography didn't start out like that. Sexual immorality didn't start out as that. Foul, coarse, evil, abusive, awful language didn't start out like that. Alcohol abuse didn't start out like that. Drug use didn't start out like that. Spiritism. False religion. Didn't start out like that. Look at verses 8 and 9. Wash your hands, you sinners, and let your hearts be filled with God alone to make them pure and true to Him. Let there be tears for the wrong things you've done. Let there be, excuse me, let there be sorrow and sincere grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. I know what you're thinking. I'd be thinking the same thing. This is Christmas! What are you doing talking about this stuff? This is awful. I feel terrible. Should have gone to a different church today. I can't believe I went to this one. Somebody else is really talking about fun things like snowflakes and Santa Claus. He's talking about sin and pornography. I can't believe it. I'm talking about it because we got to be about it. It's real. It's real, folks. I have heard the stories of families that are destroyed and divided this past week. I have seen families that are crying out to God right now in pain because their children are gone and they don't know if they'll ever see them again, because their marriages are failing and they don't know if they'll ever be together again. I have seen this and I know this to be true, and I know more than ever that we have tried to secure our homes and we failed. We have failed. We keep the fires and the burglars out, but we fail to keep the sin out, and we let the sin in. It's got to change. We have got to change. And what's interesting about these words that we just read, and these are strong and powerful words, and folks, let's make this a point. James never minces words. But when he says this, when he says, let there be tears for the wrong things you've done, let there be sorrow and sincere grief, let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy, and you say, this makes me feel bad. And I can tell you this, when we feel bad, it allows us to feel good. When we feel conviction, it allows us to change our position in life, because Jesus Christ is the only one that can change it. And so here's what happens when you say, oh, I know I feel the same way. When you read these words and you experience these words and you say, I don't feel good, that's conviction. And though it doesn't feel good, we need it. This is what takes us from the place of sin to a place of salvation. From this conviction comes something so great. It comes to repentance, and this is what we do. When we are convicted, we say this way, I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want this stuff anymore. I don't want pornography anymore. I don't want to talk like I used to anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be holy and I want to be righteous, and I want my home, and I want the children and the family members of my home to be safe and secure. I want to be an example. I want to be a role model. I want to be a disciple in my home. From repentance comes forgiveness. And this forgiveness is what everybody needs. Sometimes, folks, we don't even do well at forgiving ourselves, but God will forgive us, and He will change us, and He will allow us to see where we have gone wrong. And from forgiveness comes this thing called Christ-likeness. And Christ-likeness is what all of us should want. It's where we say this. It's where we say, Jesus, I want to be just like You. I want to live like You. I want to believe in You. And I want to love like You. I'm going to give every opportunity that I have. I'm going to love every person that You give. And I am going to not only change their lives, but I'm going to realize that You've changed my life. This is what God can do. We need God to do this. William Barclay once said, the whole point of the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ is beside us and He is a guest in every home. He is the unescapable presence, and therefore we must make all life fit for Him to see. In essence, we say something like this, Jesus, don't be a visitor. Jesus, you can't be a stranger. Jesus, today You have got to be my protector. You've got to be my defender. Today, Jesus Christ, I want You in this church at Covell, Illinois, I want You to be my Savior. And when you make that decision, your life changes, your family changes, and your desires change. No longer are you concerned about, as James talks about, no longer are you concerned about pleasure. Rather, you just want to give and love to the greatest measure that you can do it. This is how it changes. What is our defender and protector allowed to protect and secure and see? You see, if you call a home security company, here's what I can guarantee you. It's going to get uncomfortable. I know. When they walk in your home, here's what they do. Risk. High risk. Major risk. You need to fix this. That's what they do. But to allow a home security system to secure your home, you got to give them, number one and first, access. You got to give them access. In the same way, if you say, Jesus Christ, I want you to be my defender, protector, and savior, you got to give him access. You say, come into my heart. Today I open my heart for you and to you. In addition, once you give him access, now this is where it gets uncomfortable, then you got to allow him to assess. And that's where you say, Jesus, come into my heart. Oh, by the way, let me know what's at risk. You know me better than anybody. Change me and make me who you want me to be. And once he accesses and assesses, then he protects us. You know, I think about how great ADT is. Let me tell you this. There's a better security system. It's called GOD. And if you say, you know what, I may have ADT, I can tell you it is better to trust in GOD. God Almighty is the greatest security system that you can have in your home. And how valuable and how priceless are the assets in your home? Have we let him in? John 14:23, Jesus says, I will only reveal myself to those who love me and obey me. The Father will love them too, and we will come to them and live with them. Only when he lives with us can he protect us. There's good, folks. There's good. Verse 10 is powerful. Verse 10 is powerful. We got you through the conviction. Now listen to these good words. He says, then, James says, then when you realize your worthlessness before the Lord, he will lift you up, encourage, and help you. You know what he says? He says, I hear you, man. I know what you're going through. I know that you've been tripped up by sin. I know that your family is struggling with it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to secure you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to guide you through this thing called life. Our homes and the families that live inside of them and worship him in them are under attack, are being invaded, and have been divided. Today, we must be protected. We secure our homes against things, invisible things like carbon monoxide and radon, dangerous things like fires and burglars, because we protect what we value and deem priceless. God wants to protect us because God values us. Matthew 10:31. Will we allow him to do this? Jesus said in Revelation 3:20. It's a great way to end this sermon. Revelation 3:20, one of the most powerful passages I believe in Scripture, but today it certainly applies. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, here I am. Yoo-hoo! Here I am. I'm right outside. Here I am. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. He's got to open the door. We got to let him in. We got to give him access and allow him to assess what in the world we have actually let in. Will we open the door? Our family home, our church home, this home needs that love and that level of security. Today, I am imploring you, let him in. Today, if you're sitting there and this sermon speaks to you and you say, you know what? There is a lot of sin in our house. We've allowed a lot of sin in. I'm not going to assess your house. I can't. By the way, I'm the worst security system in the world. I can't even protect my own home. I look out and steam up the windows. I don't know how to do it, but I know God can do it. If there's sin in your home, if there's sin in your heart today, you say, I feel it and I know it. This today is where you say, I want to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, I want to start a relationship with Jesus Christ so he will secure me and love me and protect me. You got to open the door and let him in. Don't fight it. Don't put it off. Make it happen today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of all of us. Today, I pray that every single person that gathers in this sanctuary would give you access, would allow you to assess and protect our homes and our hearts. We've allowed sin in. Doesn't need to come through a crack of a window, opening of a door. It comes through the wires of a computer. It comes through the satellite of a TV. It comes through the magazines that we bring home. It comes through the very things that we don't even think about. until it's too late and there's nothing we can do about it. And I pray today, that it wouldn't be too late, that today we would say, I need you, Jesus. Help us today to build that relationship with your Son, and help us to see just how valuable and priceless our family members are, and remind us today of just how valuable we are to you and how priceless we are to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's sing a song by For King and Country called, coincidentally, Priceless. All right, if you're saying, I'm about to pass out, I turn blue singing that song. Can you imagine? Those guys do that for a living. All right, and if you say, that's a tough one to sing. We knew that. But the words, that's what we want you to focus on. Folks, you're priceless. You're priceless. And God wants to protect you, and God wants to secure you, and God wants to help you. And I pray today that you will allow him to do it. We have got to allow him access. I just can't. I'm broken. I feel terrible. I hear about these families that are going through these difficult things. I see the frowns and the sadness, especially during this time of season. There's a way to avoid this, and we just have to allow Jesus in. That's what we have to do. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you will strengthen those individuals who feel lost and broken and unsecured in their homes. You're our security system, but we got to let you in. This can't be a visitor thing. Can't be a stranger thing. This has got to be a resident thing. We have got to allow you full access. And I pray today that we will read your word, talk to you constantly, fellowship with you, think about you, commune with you, grow with you, so you will protect us and guide us to a place of safety and security. Thank you for seeing us as valuable, and thank you for viewing us as priceless. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.